This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, Budweiser. And by St. Luke's Hospital, St. Louis's number one heart hospital.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
All right, enough fun and games. It's time to get serious. Cardinals got shellacked last night. Right. Chris and I are having a little fun talking about who knows what. Critters running around the woods and anything to keep our mind off the Cardinals getting absolutely destroyed last night by the Orioles 13-1. Rob Long of the Orioles broadcast with us later in the show to talk about that and more from the Baltimore side. Who are these Orioles that we're facing here for two more in St. Louis tonight and tomorrow's day game? The former St. Louis Browns. Boy, they did a number. 13-1. They beat up Matthew Liberatore. Also, I've noticed the last 2 days, our clips are just going absolutely nuts. I mean, the Savannah Bananas comment from Greg Amsinger went crazy to the point where he texted me from New York, like, wow. And I said, Matt Pajeski, our producer, he has a good ear for that stuff. He knew it was going to take off.
Well, people are very protective, like me, of these Savannah Bananas. And Greg just crapped all over it.
Yeah,
he just took a big old dump all over the bananas, geez. Man. And then, how dare he?
And then
how dare this man take away my fun?
Ollie Marmol defending, although he didn't call it defending, he called it explaining why he kept Riley O'Brien in the game. That took off too, and that, to the point where people were angry at Ollie and said, you know, you had all the people now if they feel comfortable now commenting. That they think he's a bad manager. And so the avalanche of comments towards him saying that he's a poor manager and needs to go started to pick up some steam. Of course, I disagree with that. I don't care who you have managing this team. You're not winning with this team. Let's just have a dose of reality here for a minute. Matthew Liberatore on the mound yesterday got absolutely slammed. Are you telling me the manager is going to make the difference? Is he going to pull Matthew Liberatore? From the start, when Heim Bloom and the front office and Ollie are all on board that this is, they've already said publicly this is what they're going to doing. This is not on the manager all the time, every second. I mean, the best manager, who's the best manager in baseball right now? Could that individual get this Cardinals team to the playoffs? Let's be real, folks.
Do you think Dave Roberts has this team in first place?
No.
In the National League Central?
No. He's good, but in a different way. He's good because he's able to manage all of those, you know, big time players and get them to pull on one rope. I'm sure he deals with a lot of pressure. They're expected to win the World Series every year. By the way, Ollie will have that pressure, and it will be big when the Cardinals are good. They're not good right now, but they will be good, I think, next year, and they're going to be really good in 28. And if he's the manager of the team, he's going to have all kinds of pressure on him. So that will happen.
Well, all right, how many managers have the Tampa Bay Rays had in the last, 10 years? What, three, four? It's been three, probably. I mean, you've had, you have Kevin Cash, mm-hmm. Madden before that.
Yes.
Pinella was there. Okay. So, I mean, the point I'm making is they have been, since about 2008, really competitive. They're always really competitive. Is it because they have great managing or they just know how to put together a roster? Now, again, they don't always have superstars on the roster and they end up trading those players away a lot of times or not re-signing them because they say financially they can't. But is it because of what the front office has been able to do or is it because of the manager? And I think that I like Oliver Marmol. I have always said... In general, I think people overrate just how much influence a manager has on the product on the field because you're largely at the mercy of how good your talent is. Now, that doesn't mean that really talented teams are always going to win the World Series. The most talented teams don't always win the World Series, but they're always in the conversation. It's because they got a ton of talent. I think people just overrate just how... I mean, think about it this way. There are, what, about 150 pitches or so, maybe 300 or so pitches that are thrown in a typical game, right? About. you can score on every single one of those pitches. The manager has no effect on whether or not you hit a home run or you don't. You're in the lineup, either you hit a home run or you don't hit a home run. He's not calling a home run play. You know, and there are things that they can do on the margins to help their team. And I do think that old, I wouldn't call it an adage, but that old traditional wisdom of a manager can probably win or lose you five games a year, maybe 10 if you're being generous. But I just, I think we think, and fans think, that it's 90%. 90% of the wins or losses are the responsibility of the manager. And that just isn't true. Either your team and your roster is good or it isn't. And if it isn't, you're probably not going to win. The Cardinals right now in 2026 just don't have a good roster. It doesn't mean they don't have some good players or some players that will eventually turn into really good players. But right now, for this season, this is not a good roster. And you know what? It wasn't really supposed to be this year.
They have a lot of youth. I mean, even Alec Burleson. I mean, where was he last year? Bouncing around different positions? What position did he have last year? He wasn't the first baseman. It was Contreras.
Yeah.
You know, he's your best overall hitter with respect to Walker, who's having an incredible year. Burleson's a great hitter. Burleson, this is his first year at a position. Really nice year for him. Really nice year for Walker. Nice year for Weatherholt. Very nice. I mean, considering he's a rookie also. And then you have Mason Winn is injured. That's unfortunate. That does have an effect on the defense. Not a huge effect on the lineup necessarily, but he is one of your leaders. And then the pitching is a different story. I mean, the pitching is what it is. It is cratering.
It wasn't very good, and now it's hurt.
Liberatore is not good. After some good, encouraging outings, he was not good yesterday. You have Leahy only pitching a certain number of pitches right now. You got McGreevy. You're pinning your hopes on him. But let's remember now, McGreevy is not a guy that you need to be pushing all the way through September either. This is his first year. He came in this year with only 20 starts in his career.
Mm-hmm.
So let's remember now that this is a rebuild as much as you want this team to win. But I didn't like yesterday at all. I hate getting blown out. The team got absolutely shellacked, and they had no offense whatsoever except for Nathan Church. So the Cardinals get beat 13-1. It is what it is. I don't have to like it, and I don't like it. There are some comments that are rolling in. Yes,
Tom, I'll tell you this, man. I would rather get blown out than have what happened Sunday.
If I
have two choices, I'm taking yesterday over that.
John says, team not built for 162. He and I are in agreement on that. Four things missing. Legit ace, check. Bullpen depth, check. Positional bench depth, check. Veteran leadership. Had success this year identifying core players for future. Yeah, they have one player who has a playoff at bat. You know who that is? He just came up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nolan Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have experience on this team yet. But in 27 and 28, this will be a good learning experience for these players who got knocked down in 2026, and they may have to limp to the finish here and then see what they've got in spring training next year and get going, assuming that Major League Baseball owners and players get their act together and get an agreement so that we can play ball.
Well, let me go back to something John said, that there's not a whole lot of positional bench depth. There kind of is, but it's all starting. You've got a lot of guys who would probably be bench pieces who are starting for you right now.
Yeah, but he's saying there isn't beyond that.
I get it. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm making is that they don't have a lot of true, really good starting talent. So it's not even about the bench depth. It's just that you don't have much to begin with other than Weatherholt, who's, you know, he's got his own struggles, but I think he's going to turn into a really nice player. Herrera's been able to hit. Burleson's your constant. He's your ex. He's the guy that's always... And I know we talked about this last week, but we don't talk enough about him because, that's just... You expect it. Oh, that's what Burleson does, you know? But everybody else is still growing, or we don't know a whole lot about them. And then you've got some guys who would normally be bench pieces on other really good teams, right? So yes. I think... That's the real truth about what the 2026 Cardinals are. And I think the sooner you understand that as a fan, I think the the more you will realize that this, it isn't about who the manager is so much or who the coaching staff is. Because I do think the most important thing they can do is A, create a good environment, which I think they have done that, and B, make sure the players have the resources they need, and that's really it. It's not about pitching changes so much. It's not about how you construct the lineup, because you can only put in who you've got. You can't create players out of thin air. So I think in that respect, they do a pretty good job. They do get them ready to play. They do create a good environment, and that's it. Then you have to just kind of let them go. It's like you know, sending your kid to school. You can make him do his homework at night, and then you can make sure you could pack his lunch for him and tell him, hey, you better work hard when you get to school. But you can't make him work hard once he's in the classroom. He's got to do it for himself. And it's the same way with these players.
Matthew Liberatore got destroyed by Pete Alonso. Now, that's a big league hitter right there.
There you go.
And you throw one to Pete Alonso that's to his liking, he's going to hit it out of the ballpark. Cardinals don't really have a player of that stature. They've got some hitters in Burleson and Walker, but they don't have the track record of Alonso, who's been wrecking pitchers for years. The Cardinals have a team that I think will show some improvement next year, but remember, the big talent is coming, and we haven't even seen it yet. Raniel Rodriguez, Jesus Baez. You're getting a little taste of Joshua Baez, who is a little over his head, because this is a big league. This is the best baseball league in the world. These are the best players on the planet, and there is a major adjustment going on with most of these players as we speak. Actually, all of them, except maybe Burley and Walker, who have already gotten there. There is an adjustment period, even with JJ. We're seeing it throughout the year. There will be one. So we're watching it in real time. There's big talent coming at the next layer. I wish it happened all real fast, but it is what it is. It is a rebuild. That was your opening day starter, by the way, in Matthew Liberatore. I got taken to task by some people for saying that the only starter that I had trust in was Michael McGreevy going into the year. And people were like, what are you talking about? Liberatore is a starter. He's going to be the opening day starter. I'm like, okay, I'm just saying what I feel. The only one who I trust to go six or seven innings is McGreevy, if he can even get to seven. And McGreevy only had 20 starts under his belt. So it just, here's a question. Is Leahy a potential ace? It's a little early to say ace is a big, that's big. You're talking about an ace is like a top 30, top 40 pitcher in baseball. This is a guy who I think could be a legitimate starter for a long time. I've felt that way all the way through this year. I was impressed that they actually thought of him as a starter. They saw that before I did last year. But when I saw him in spring training, I saw the makings of a starter. The temperament, the combination of pitches, his delivery, his repeatable delivery. I really like Kyle Leahy. I really like Tekoa Roby. I think Tekoa Roby is of that ilk. I think that he has a repeatable delivery. He has really good stuff. He's coming off the surgery, and hopefully he is one of those that can challenge in the rotation. I think the rotation's got a chance to be exciting next year. I don't want to say good. I want to say intriguing, because you got some guys, Liam Doyle, Tanner Franklin could end up being a factor in some way with your pitching staff as well. This is interesting. Very, very interesting how things are coming together. So that is the 2026 Cardinals for you, folks. And you know what? Here's the one more thing, Chris, before your thought. They could very well blow the doors off tonight and bounce back, because we've seen them do that. Just when we declare them dead, they start to go on this. They have one more little push in them, and they have shown that they can bounce back from things. But it is August 26th. It's getting late in the year. There's only a month left, and none of these guys are accustomed to playing 162 games in a year, except maybe Burleson.
No, and I think if you are looking at this from an outside national perspective, I guarantee you people who know the sport would look at the Cardinals roster and say, well, of course. Of course they are where they are. Of course they're hovering around 500 and below, and maybe getting a little above and then back below 500. Of course they are. Look at the roster. It's not about anything else. And if you have chimed in on YouTube, and you should follow KMOX Sports on YouTube, follow us and like us. That way you can see more of us. And there are a couple of comments. I want to get to some of those, Tom, when we come back.
All right, I was talking during the break, so I wasn't monitoring the comments like you were. You saw a couple. Oh, by the way, Albert Pujols, some thoughts from him. I chatted with him this morning.
Awesome.
Sorry to drop that name on you, but...
Well, I've been name dropping him in your...
I appreciate it.
In your stead all
I love
morning.
That guy. I love that guy. And he was really great for me early in my career. He made me feel like I mattered. I was just really a nobody reporter. And he, in every interview, he would say, hey, you've been following me since I was in the minor league, so you know, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me credibility, and I appreciate him. And he gave me a very nice interview this morning that we're going to run in a Hall of Fame special, but we'll hear a little bit of it coming up here on the Gas House Gang.
I have a feeling he's going to get a toast today.
It's very, today's Budweiser Toast Day.
Could be Dolly Parton.
I could be both.
Could be both.
Could be both.
So if you're watching on YouTube, first of all, find KMOX Sports on YouTube and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate it if you do. And you can always leave comments and we will get to some of them. Like this one from Tom, who says, former pitchers who pitched to Yachty said he was a coach on the field and he made them better as a pitcher because he knew what they were doing wrong and how to fix it. And that is true. And I believe what Tom is getting at when we were having the conversation about managers and how much influence they have and the belief that Yachty will be a great manager someday. And he might be. I don't think it's a given because there's so much that goes into the job that's not just on field stuff. And I would like to see how he handles all of that off field stuff. But I think what Tom is getting at is that, well, Yachty makes everybody better. The thing about what you're talking about is, of course, he's making his pitchers better because he knows how to call a game. He's calling a game in the moment as the catcher, and he's one of the best ever to do that. Also, defensively overall, one of the best ever to do that, too. So that's very different than being a manager in the dugout. So, yes, Yadier Molina, as a catcher, has more influence on what's happening on the field than probably the manager in the dugout does, who makes the lineup, makes the pitching changes, of course. But Yachty is affecting every single pitch that gets thrown by his guy, and then he has to go out there and hit, too. So I know what Tom is getting at. I just think it's different. It's apples and oranges when you're talking about how great a catcher is with a pitching staff and who the manager is in the dugout.
Absolutely right. Like, if you're talking about he's better than Pajes and Crooks,
Carrera.
Oh, yeah. He's better than all three of them combined, half asleep. I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's Yadier Molina. Like, you never shook off his calls. I mean, he's one of the most brilliant game callers ever. As a manager, he may end up being one of the great managers.
Could be.
We just don't know. There is no evidence of that except in the World Baseball Classic and the things that he's been doing outside of that. He's terrific. He was in the dugout last night, and I'm sure he makes a difference for this team. And I'm sure I know that they love having him there, and he's brilliant. But yeah, to just say that he would be able to change everything right now is just, I don't see the evidence of that.
No, and I think if Yadier Molina is a manager and he's 5 years in his managerial career and he's got this roster, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the results we're seeing now and the results he might have.
Yeah, I don't want it like, you know. Tom, it's a great comment, and I would never want to be put in a position to argue against Yachty's brilliance. See, everybody knows.
Well, nobody is, and nobody ever would.
Yeah, he's incredible. His baseball IQ is beyond crazy.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. It is proven as such. We'll just leave it at that.
Again, a manager is not fixing guys. That's not the job of a manager. You don't fix players. You create a good environment for them, and there is no evidence to the contrary that Marmol is not creating a good environment for this team. And until we start to hear a swell of players who are anonymously talking about how miserable it is to be in that dugout or in that clubhouse, until we hear that, I have no reason to think that he's anything other than really good with his team.
The real third man throwing out the Raniel Rodriguez comps to Albert Pujols with the big time numbers. If you're watching on YouTube, we don't read every comment that comes out on YouTube. You just have to follow along on YouTube at KMOX Sports. You should be subscribing. I see the subscription numbers going up by the day, with some really good numbers just thrown out by a real third man. Appreciate that. And then there was one here before we take a break. Are they doing Libby more harm than good, running him out there every start, asks Doug. I don't think so. I think that if he needs to be a starter, I mean, it doesn't do the Cardinals any good to give up eight runs on eight hits. And you could make the case that the Cardinals are not in the best position if Libertor's getting lit up. But for him, his development as a starter, remember, I argued that it would be better for him to be starting in Memphis. That got shot down, but then be in the bullpen up here. Like, if he's going to be a starter someday, if that's your vision, then he should be a starter. And so, you know, I can understand the argument the other way. Would he be a great weapon for them? Would they be a better team if Matthew Libertor came out of the bullpen and threw two key innings? Maybe. But I don't know. They're short on starters also. And, you know, but you could make that case. Yes. Would the Cardinals be a better team if they just used him as a bullpen weapon and then took a chance on a different starter? I don't know who that person is. And please don't say Miles Michaelis. I love Miles, but, you know, I don't need innings eaters. I just want to see pitchers develop at this point.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a good fix for that. And I don't think it's hurting him worse if they keep him out there. Because at some point, they might have to just tell him, look, dude, you're going to have to wear it for us for the rest of the year. We're down starters as it is. We were thin there to begin with, and now we've got injuries. So you're just going to have to get through to the end of the season and find a way to make that happen. Maybe that's what they do with him. But ultimately, it comes down to whether or not he's part of their future. And if he stopped pitching right now for the rest of the season, do you think he's part of their future?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Libby?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I just think they have so many pitchers coming. That's not an enthusiastic yeah. But remember, Chaim Bloom did draft him originally. I think he does believe in him. But we have seen... Well, we've seen it for ourselves. The numbers are what they are. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You can't hide from it. Let's break. Let's come back. Welcome back to the Gas House Gang. I'm Tom Ackerman. Chris Ranji is alongside, and we're visiting now with Rob Long, who is in town. Baltimore Orioles in town. Boy, they beat up the Cardinals last night, 13-1. You are pregame and postgame for the Orioles. You're also at 105.7
The Fan. 105.7 The Fan on radio, morning
in
talk.
Baltimore, here using our studio. So, of course, we're going to grab you and talk some ball with you.
I love it.
But it's great to be with you. And the Orioles put it on the Cardinals. Let's talk about that first. Orioles put it on the Cardinals last night. Our old friend Pete Alonso back in the ballpark.
He loves this ballpark.
He took Matthew Libertor deep.
Yeah, he took him deep. Pete's been taking everybody deep right now, though. He has 31 home runs on the year. He was last week AL Player of the Week, and he hadn't stopped swinging it. He's been doing great since the All-Star break. You start to see what kind of offensive juggernaut he can be all by himself. He's the type of guy that can put a team on his back for about 3 weeks to a month and carry him. I can only imagine what Mets fans are thinking, because he didn't even get an offer. They didn't even offer him for 2026 and beyond. So he hit that opt-out clause. He opted out. Orioles swooped in, and he's been everything that we thought it would be, and then some. His leadership is even better than what you see on the field.
Orioles, an interesting team. I mean, were they expected to contend this year? They were in the hunt there for a little while, but they got off to a rough start.
Rough start. They're only 2.5 games back in the third wild card spot right now because the American League is so bad. And they were expected to contend. They went out and got Alonso. They went out and got Chris Bassitt, who you saw last night. Bassitt spent some time on the IL, had back surgery in the middle of the season, and he's back. They went out and got traded for Taylor Ward, 30 home run guy who has 7 home runs now. He got traded to Seattle. Adley Rutschman has been hurt a lot. He got traded to Boston. I said the offensive productivity has not been there. The arms, the starting rotation has been better than advertised, but the offense has been very, very inconsistent.
Yeah, Bassitt was good last night. I've always liked Bassitt. Ryan Helsley, former Cardinals closer, part of the bullpen.
He's on the IL. He's trending backwards, I believe, back towards the bullpen, I believe. Orioles are getting some pieces back. Masayo just came back recently. They have a kid that they traded for. who's doing his stints right now, Blaze Alexander. Blaze was batting over 300 before he got injured. He got injured the last game before the All-Star break. Orioles were up big. He got hit on the hand. Undisclosed fracture on his hand. He's been out since then, but he made his first minor league start last night.
I remember them being one of the active teams at the winter meetings.
Yeah.
They got after it. Jackson Holliday is a tremendous player. He's not from St. Louis, but we feel like he is because he's Matt Holliday's son, and he used to bounce around that Cardinals clubhouse down in Jupiter. I remember when he was a little kid. Now here he is, a grown man and a heck of a player.
He talked about that a lot last night before the game. Lots of St. Louis reporters around, as well as Baltimore reporters around. He spoke fondly of his time here. He said he hadn't been back, I think, in 10 years, since he was maybe 12 years old. But he spoke very fondly about it. Someone asked him, has he ever hit one out here? He said, yeah, maybe if I'm standing in center field. So you kind of wonder if that's on his checklist for this series. But he talked about how it felt, the nostalgia of being back here in this stadium.
Yeah. And, you know, has that feeling as a kid growing up, but became a player in Oklahoma. How is Baltimore's scouting from that standpoint? What is the future of the organization? How do they build this organization? As the Cardinals are in a rebuild, the Orioles were for a while. Now, what is the plan moving forward?
Well, the plan is they signed some, extended some people. They extended Shane Baz. They extended Kyle Bradish. So that's two-fifths of your rotation that's locked down. Also, Brandon Young, no one expected him to be this good this year. So that's three guys that you know you have in your rotation for next year, which is a great start for most people. Hopefully they can re-sign Trevor Rogers. They also extended Samuel Basayo, the young catcher. Gunnar Henderson is under contract for a few years. So is Jackson Holliday for a few years as well. Blaze Alexander is as well. So there's some Colton Cowser. There's some pieces. This is what I believe, and I can't tell you 100%. They traded for a lot of young arms, a lot of them. Young arms are used for one of two things. You either bring them up because you believe they're part of your future, or you use them to trade to get major league ready talent. I think they're going to do a little bit of both. I think instead of going out and trying to compete with a lot of the big-name teams who can just throw money at you, I think they'll try to get some bats with maybe 2 years of player control on them out there by using some of the young pitchers there, because they're really talking and big up in these pitchers. Adley Rutschman brought us a very good young prospect as well from LSU. So I think the future pretty much is here. First base, Alonzo's locked up. Second base, Jackson Holliday, locked up. Gunnar Henderson, I think with two more years left on his after this year. Third base, you have Jordan Westberg, who will be back next year. If not Westberg, you still have Blaze Alexander. In center field, you have Colton Cowser. Behind the plate, you have Samuel Basayo. Those positions are locked up. Corner outfield is in desperate need. Left and right field is in dire, dire need, because former Cardinal Tyler O'Neill has not quite been what they expected him to be. I love Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, sure.
Great guy. Tremendous guy. But I think Tyler O'Neill would probably tell you it has not worked out the way he envisioned it working out. He's a former home run hitter, a 30 home run hitter, two-time Gold Glove winner. He's been better lately, outstanding lately on defense, even. But the offense has just not been there the way we thought. And I think they need to really fortify that corner, those two corner outfield positions.
Rob Long is with us from the Orioles broadcast. Tough division. I mean, yeah. An interesting division. You get Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, all big spenders. Red Sox a little bit more so here recently. And the Rays leading the way. Mm-hmm. Just an incredible organization on how they pull all that off. So the Orioles find themselves, as you mentioned, kind of in the middle. They want to do that too. They know they can't throw money around like some of those others, but their fans demand a lot, don't they? They get tired of getting beat by teams.
Oh, yeah. I think the Orioles system, the Orioles way is going to be this. Get these guys with player control, with some player control, or I should say some organizational control, and then try to extend. They did that with Boz. You know what I mean? They got him with some years left on his deal. They extended. Bradish was been there for a while, but Bradish was traded to Baltimore for Dylan Bundy, or to the Angels. So I've always joked. I said they traded Dylan Bundy for a pitcher that they thought Dylan Bundy would be. Dylan Bundy was never what we thought it would be. Kyle Bradish is what we thought Dylan Bundy would be. They extended him. So I think that's a good way for them to go at it. Get some guys who need some work. Build them up, because the Orioles are very good at that. build them up, and then extend them. I thought they could do that with Trevor Rogers, but Trevor Rogers just became otherworldly. So, you know, he's going to be the best lefty on the market whose name isn't, name escapes me. He got traded to the Dodgers.
Scooble.
Scooble. Yeah. He's going to be the best lefty on the market whose name isn't Scooble. And Scooble may get extended as well. So I think that's kind of their system. But again, I think they'll use some pieces in the minor league system to get those corner outfielders or any other positions that they want.
Last couple things for Rob Long. I've always felt like Baltimore and St. Louis are very similar. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the city-county thing going on, the government, the
spot on.
You know, some of the issues that you deal with in both cities. Both of us had football teams ripped out from under us. Actually, it happened to us twice.
Yeah, about that.
One Super Bowl is very close to each other, the Rams and then the Ravens. It is a proud sports town. Proud sports town.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Kurt Warner's first start against the Ravens?
I think it was.
I think his first start was against the Ravens.
I think I think you're right. I think you're right. And he, you know, nobody in the league knew what to do. I mean, that offense had the NFL on its heels.
Oh yeah, it did.
But what a time that was! But what a proud sports town Baltimore is.
It is very proud, and at times they grow frustrated. Orioles haven't won a World Series since 1983. They've been in the playoffs since then, what, in 96, 97, then got back in 12, 14, 16, and then in, what, 23 and 24. So not a ton of playoff experience since 1983. So I've always said angry fans are good fans, because what you don't want is fans to ignore you. I'd rather fans be angry than for fans not to care. And the Orioles fans, they're growing angry. They're probably very angry at the fact that this team has not gotten over the hump. They've not won a playoff game since 2014. They've been swept out of the last two playoff appearances. Three playoff appearances, I'm sorry. So that's there too. Ravens, they've had one of the more talented rosters in the NFL for the past 5 years. Even had an AFC championship game at home. They've not been able to get to the Super Bowl. That creates some frustration as well. So even though you have a very loyal fan base and a great sports fan base, you have in both sides a frustrated fan base.
Well, it's great to have you in town. I'd rather the Cardinals not get blown out, but it's fun to see.
We're trying to run it back tonight.
Yeah, it's fun to see the former St. Louis Browns in town. There's a connection there, of course, between the Cardinals and the Orioles in St. Louis, and that from that standpoint. And thanks for being with us on the Gas House Gang. That is a topic we actually talk about a lot, is fanship. So appreciate you getting into it. And all the best with you. I hope you enjoy our studios here in downtown St. Louis.
That'd be great. The hospitality has been top notch.
We'll get you some of that good St. Louis food too.
And this is probably the best office coffee that I've ever had.
Oh,
this is the best. I said it on our airwaves. I said they have the best office coffee I've ever tasted before.
It's good to hear. KMOX, man. We take that stuff seriously. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Rob Long with us. Back in a moment on the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Our thanks to Rob Long of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore for joining us. He does the pre and post on Masson. He's also a women's basketball coach, has been for 25 years. And I'd love to chat with him again. Thanks for the visit, Rob. Really appreciate it. I almost gave you the Budweiser Toast of the Week, but not quite. Presented by Budweiser. For 150 years, this Bud's for you. I think two are appropriate today. Certainly, our thoughts are with all who love, and I think that is like everybody, Dolly Parton. It has been an incredible outpouring of people posting content that I can't get enough of. I've watched so many clips and interviews and songs, and I think it's just because Dolly Parton was so positive, and we need more like her.
I haven't heard anybody say one negative thing about her.
So cheers to Dolly Parton, and cheers to this next guest who I had a chance to speak with earlier today, and that is the soon-to-be Cardinals Hall of Famer, Albert Pujols. And I talked to him about joining some of the greats. And remember, early in his Cardinals career, he started to mingle with the big-timers, and it really struck him that he was in quite the organization, the St. Louis Cardinals. Albert Pujols, when you go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame, you'll be joining some of the great names in baseball history. Musial, Gibson, Brock, Ozzie. I mean, the list goes on and on of these incredible names. I know that early on in your career, you spent a lot of time with Stan, but you also understood what the Cardinals meant and what that meant to be a Hall of Famer to them. I'm sure you all talked about what it was like to be a Cardinal.
Yes, and I mean, to me, those legends that came before me, and I think, you know, that day, that moment is going to be really special. A lot of them are gone, but I think, you know, I built a great relationship, great memories, you know, throughout the years wearing the bird and the bat. And, you know, that's something that I would say I didn't accomplish by myself, man. I accomplished together. They pay the price for us, opportunity to spend some time, some of them with me. And now to go in there into the Cardinal Hall of Fame wearing that red jacket is something that is a dream come true, you know. Never thought about it until, you know, that moment came this year. And I was like, wow, man, it's going to be pretty special. Opening day wearing, you know, a red jacket and you know, just being part of the ceremony now. No wearing a uniform, now wearing a red jacket, man, that's going to be really special.
You know, when you're growing up and you see Stan and Red and Lou and Bob and Ozzie and Bruce and Whitey and Tony and all these guys, now the next generation, those are their guys. Albert, Yachty, yeah. Waino. I think Waino's got a shot at Cooperstown sometime down the road. Albert's obviously a shoe-in. Yachty should get in with him in 2 years. But right now they are Cardinals Hall of Famers and Waino will be in next year.
Here's what I want to know. Do you think he has to, right? Albert has to be in unanimously. I mean, he's got to be. Is there going to be some D-bag who doesn't vote for him or leaves a ballot blank because there are those weirdos who do that out of protest? Logically, he has to get everybody's vote. But do you think there's going to be somebody who holds out for some dumb reason?
I really, really hope not. And if so, I think that person should question why they have a ballot, and we should question why they have a ballot, honestly. I mean, that's just to use it for some odd strategy to get somebody else in is just silly. I mean, this is if anybody deserves a unanimous vote, it's Albert Pujols, for crying out loud. He's one of the greatest hitters in the history of the game. But, hey. You know, whatever happens, happens. But he's going to be 100%, I think.
I sure hope so. Yeah. Because, like you said, there are very few guys who deserve every vote. And he is unequivocally one of them. It's not even close.
Pretty easy one for Cardinals fans to vote Albert and Yachty in. So they will go in with Bill Schardell on Saturday, September 12th, before the game. That's going to be inside Busch Stadium. By the way, Friday the 11th, they're going to honor the 2006 Cardinals, and tickets are available for that game on Friday, September 11th. Sunday the 13th, Tony La Russa's event at the Factory. We'll have Albert and Yachty and Jimmy Edmonds and many others. That's going to be a big one as well. So what a weekend it is. NASCAR weekend, Cardinals Hall of Fame weekend. Big one, September 11th through the 13th right here in St. Louis. Ranj, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
My guy. Back tomorrow with Bernie. You and me. It's just you and me for a little bit.
Before the day game, Cards and Orioles. All right, let's get back on the horse, see if the Cardinals can get them back tonight at Busch Stadium. Thanks for joining us.